I'd like to welcome everybody this morning. If you're regular with us, you're welcome. If you're occasional, you're welcome. If you're just visiting us this one time, I know some are in town just for the weekend. We welcome all of you. We pray God would bless you. God would increase your faith, your love, your hope in Him. My name is Nigel. If I didn't meet you, come and introduce yourself, and then we'll meet one another. All right. So we began a series a few weeks ago, on the great cloud of witnesses. That's from Hebrews. Hebrews, the New Testament book, refers back to the Old Testament and says, what is recorded there is the testimony, the story of many witnesses to Christ and to their faith, the faith of those people in God, in Christ. And we can learn from that. Okay. We did God. We did Adam and Eve, mankind as created by God. Today we're on chapter 3 of Genesis. So we're obviously in the Old Testament. This is the fall of mankind, the fall of man. And it's a story. It's Adam's story. It's your story and my story. You say that's not me. He's back then. I'm here. No, this is your story, my story. We're all affected. Just like, you know, maybe you immigrated to North America, then your kids are born here. Maybe you didn't immigrate. Your parents, grandparents, great, whoever, somebody came. Because of that, you were born here. You inherit from their decision affects you. Your decision affects the following generations. And Adam's and Eve's decision, choice, affects us. That's why we're here today. So this is their story and our story. And we can learn from it. Okay, let's read the verses. So we're fallen Adam, fallen man, fallen the fallen human race. Let me just add, we are all from Adam. God created one man, one woman. The Bible says, and genetics confirms, we all share the same DNA, no matter what race. You know, there's not one family tree for the African, for the Asian, for the European. Those family trees you trace back, they all came from the same source. So we're all from Adam, no matter what race, language, nationality, we're all from one. That's what the Bible says. We're all from one, and we're all affected by one. That's Adam. Okay, so it affects us. That's why this is your story, too. Okay, we have the verses, right? Okay, we're going to read the first part. I'll leave you to read the rest of the chapter. We don't want to take too long. Okay, now, God created Adam and Eve. God created the universe, the earth, creatures, everything, man. Chapter 2, Adam and Eve, put them in the garden. Chapter 3, verse 1, now the serpent was more crafty than any other beast of the field that the Lord God had made. You got a speaking serpent. He's pretty crafty. He said to the woman, did God actually really say, quote, you shall not eat of any tree of the garden? And the woman, that's Eve, said to the serpent, answered, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden. But God said, you shall not eat of the fruit of the tree that is in the midst of the garden, neither shall you touch it, lest you die. Okay, next. Okay. But the serpent said to the woman, you will not surely die. This is contradicting. You will not surely die, for God knows that when you eat of it, that tree, your eyes will be open and you will be like God, knowing good and evil. Right? So when the woman saw that the tree was good for food and that it was a delight to the eyes and the tree was to be desired to make one wise, so it looked tasty, it looked attractive, and it's you know, seemed to be giving you something you didn't have. She took of its fruit and ate. She also gave some to her husband who was with her. At this point, you know, Adam was out of the picture. Where was he? We find out he was right there. Adam was right there. He didn't say anything. And he should have. All right. He should have said something, done something. Anyway, okay. Her husband who was with her, so she also gave some to her husband, that's Adam, who was with her, and he ate. She ate, he ate. Seven, then the eyes of both were opened, and they knew that they were naked. So they now had self-consciousness, self-awareness they didn't seem to have before. And they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves loincloths. And when they heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day, the man and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God among the trees, right? Now their relationship with God was affected also. So right now they were afraid, they hid. They don't want to come to God's presence. But the Lord God said to the man, called to the man and said to him, "Where are you?" Actually, for sure, God knew. He didn't need GPS, right? He knew. But anyway, he still asked. Adam speaks up. Adam said, "I heard the sound of you in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, and I hid myself." God said, "Who told you you were naked? Have you eaten of the tree of which I commanded you not to eat? Have you eaten?" The man said, this is the beginning of what's called passing the buck. Think about it. How often you, that's why this is your story. God said, "Have you eaten?" Simple question, yes or no, right? He said, right? The woman, he didn't answer the question directly. The woman, it's her fault. The woman whom you, and your fault, God. He said, the woman, it's her, and you, so it's her, it's you. You gave to be with me. She gave me the fruit of the tree and I ate. So pass the buck. It's her fault, it's your fault for the woman's fault. And you, in fact, your fault because you gave me the woman. So pass the buck. I'm the victim, and I ate. Then God, the Lord God said to the woman, "What is this that you have done?" See, and it's not just men who pass the buck. Here you go. The woman said, "The serpent deceived me. It's his fault." The man said, "It's the woman." The woman said, "It's the serpent." They're right. They're all right. "The serpent deceived me, and I ate." Right? Okay. And then you can read the rest, right? If you go to the rest of the chapter, you can read that. Okay. What's the point? This is not, you know, it's a story. And, you know, some people feel, oh, this is so simple. You know, Adam, what's the problem? Adam ate an apple and it got stuck. That's why we call this Adam's apple on your throat. You know, that's so simple. People say it's kind of childish. You know, it's a story, a narrative that provides answers, and it's behind the story. You've got to get the points. So it's, yes, is it a story? It is. It's a narrative, but it's not just a narrative. Behind the story, it answers some basic questions, and we got to see what are those questions, what are those answers, because our life is a story, and we are affected by this story, and we should respond, right? That's the Bible. So what's the simple story? Ian told me I got 55 pictures. Here goes. It's going to be like a movie. Okay, there's... Right, God created the universe, everything. God created a garden. He put the man there. So there's a garden, Eden. Everything's peaceful, tranquil, good. God said it's good, it's very good. God put the man, the woman there, Adam and Eve. Right, everything was good. Then, chapter 3, along comes a snake. Anybody like snakes? Don't get a pet snake. The snake said, you know, he did God say, we had the conversation, did God really say you can't eat anything? She says, no, we can't eat this tree. He said, you know, God is keeping something from you. God does not, you know, the implication is God does not want the best for you. God is holding something back. There's something there will be beneficial for you, but God doesn't want you to have. God is withholding something. That's the implication. God knows if you eat this, that, you know, something good, something, you know, there'll be something more. God is keeping this from you. That's the temptation. The woman took that. She took the apple, and that affected people. Right? There you go. Be careful with snakes. Now, that's not the moral of the story. Right? I hope it doesn't have, it seems like it doesn't have the fangs. I hope. Okay. Okay. Behind the story, what are the questions? What are the answers? We're all living according to some story. What story are you living in? Right? And if it's this story is part of God's story. Right? The Bible is God's story, and God's story and our story should come together, and we know what God is and how to answer. Okay, number one question is we can ask. The Bible, that story in the Bible, Genesis, answers this question. What is our source? Where do we come from? That's the crucial question. The answer to that question affects your life. What's the alternative? You know, it's all chance. It's luck. This whole universe somehow happened. That's the alternative. Random luck, random chance. There was a big bang. Nobody caused it. Just happened. It's a huge universal explosion. Just happened. And it just happened that that explosion, unlike most other explosions, was creative, productive, and produced the whole universe, which was so useful. And okay, the universe is chance, luck, and then life began by chance, by luck. And then after that, you know, evolution, in England they call it evolution. Here we call it evolution. Okay, so evolution, survival of the fittest, and we happen to be the fittest, most smart, not the strongest, but the smartest, so we're on top. That's how we got here. That is a story. That's one story. There can be permutations. The Bible gives you another, you and I, another story. That alternative story, taken as a whole, results in answers to other questions. What's the problem? No problem. What's the solution? You don't need a solution because there's no problem. We're on top of the food chain. Let's stay there. That's the answer. And you are what you are. You know, that you live with the cards you dealt, try to make the most of it, that's it, end of story. Okay, that's not the Bible. The Bible gives us another story, and another answer to those kind of questions. What's our source? Answer. God created the universe, everything, and God created the human race in his image, in his likeness, with the ability to express him, represent him, and gave the human race the job of stewarding, taking care of his whole creation. He gave them responsibility. See, that's the creation, that's Genesis. We're created by a good God. God is good.
Yes, all the time.
And this good God, his creation's good. Everything was good, and God created us, right, for himself. And this good God is not withholding things from the, he's for us and has a, you know, for, he wants to be us to be in relationship with him, represent him, take care of creation for him, that God will be glorified in the whole creation. That's the Bible's answer. We're in his image, in his likeness, for a relationship and to take care of rule in the sense of stewarding. And God gave us the choice. Right? That's the story. You say, why is there the tree of knowledge of good and evil? Answer, God gives the choice. He gives choices. He wants people willingly to choose him. He doesn't want slavery. He doesn't want obligation. He gives people the choice, right? And still God gives us the choice. He wants us to be attracted to choose him. Okay, so that's number one question this story answers. What's our source? God. We're in his image likeness with the freedom to choose. God took the risk. God took the risk. Yes. Can things go wrong? Yes, they can. Did they go wrong? Yes. You know, if you want the best, you know, you take a risk. You know, I have a dog. I let the dog out on the front lawn. He likes to be outside. I could keep him in the house. He likes to be on the front lawn, back lawn. I give him the freedom, right? Is there a risk? Yes. Right? It's in the Bible. Give them the freedom. I give him the freedom. What's the risk? He sees a rabbit cross the road, he's over there, right? There's a risk. On the other hand, I feel it. Personally, I feel it's better. So that's me. All right. God gives people the freedom. Okay, second question. What's the problem? What's the problem? What went wrong? Alternative, what's the problem? There is no problem. What went wrong? Nothing went wrong. It is the way it is. Live with it. That's the alternative. The Bible says, no, there is a problem. What's the problem? The human race, given the freedom, man, woman, number one, disobeyed God. God said, don't eat. I tell the dog, stay. Don't go in the street. Why? Why do I do that? I have his best. It's not that I want to control. I'm not a control freak. And God's not a control freak. I tell the dog, stay. Don't go in the street. Why? I don't want him to get hit. I don't want to scrape him off the road. Right? And so far he's good. Right? Okay. God gave mankind instructions. Why? He wants the best for them, the best interest. But man, the human race, disobeyed God. But more than that, it's not, you know, it's not just disobedience. Man was made for relationship with God, and that relationship was damaged, broken. Right? Man disobeyed, number one. Number two, that relationships, including relationship with God, was damaged, right? And you can tell, man was afraid, man hid from God. He doesn't want to come to God, right? Something's lost, that we've broken that relationship. And the relationship among people is damaged, right? The man blames his wife, right? That's blaming, right? Passing the buck. Man's relationship with creation is damaged. All these relationships are damaged, right? Number three, you know, I know people say, okay, man disobeyed God, people end with that. No, it's more serious than that. Man disobeyed God, number one. Number two, that damaged mankind's relationship with God, his maker, damaged relationships among people, damaged relationships with the creation, with the creatures, with creation, with everything. Number three, right? Disobeyed, damaged. Number three, diseased. There's a virus. It's not SARS. Right? Sin is like a disease. It's like a virus. That's, and you have this in the Bible, right? That's why it's serious, right? Genesis doesn't tell us. You have to go to Romans. Romans tells us sin came into the world through one man. That's Adam. Adam opened the door. Because Adam opened the door, the virus of sin came in. And it affects everybody, right? Through one man, sin entered the world, and death through sin. So death spread to all men, because all have sinned. You know, and you see this principle in the universe. Now in the U.S. there's this new virus, MERS, MERS, Middle East Respiratory Syndrome, MERS. It's like SARS, only different, Middle East version. Okay, wasn't Saudi Arabia, wasn't the Middle East. Now, a few people have come to the U.S. who were there. Now, they have three cases. See, the virus came. Now the virus is in U.S. Now they're worried, will the virus spread? Right? That's the problem. Sin is like a virus which entered through Adam. Once it's there, you've got to deal with it. Right? So sin is more serious than what a lot of people think. There's the virus of sin. It affected you. It affected me. And it brought in death. That's what the Bible says. Okay, so what's the situation? Number three. What's the situation? Answer. We're fallen people in a fallen society, in a fallen world. We're fallen individually. Society is fallen because a society made of, we have family is affected, fallen family, fallen society, fallen world. Sin and death affect the whole. Individuals, families, human society, the relationship with all the creatures and creation, right? So that damaged God's image, right? So you can add that. We're in a broken world. And the image of God, we were made with the purpose that we would reflect God. Think about a mirror. How'd you like it? See? It's like one of those House of Mirrors things, right? You go in there, you know, we, the human race, we're made like an image to reflect God. The way God is, we're a mirror not to look at ourselves. We're like a mirror. We are the mirror. God is the one who wants, is the one to be projected. God, through us as the mirrors, wants to be projected, seen, expressed to one another and to creation. Now we who are the mirror, we're bent, distorted, twisted. So what God is bent, distorted, right? That reflection is distorted to other people and to the whole creation. The image is damaged. So the reflection, we don't express what we should. We're affected by these things, right? And the whole creation is affected. You know, Genesis portrays, God said everything's good. You know, vegetation's good, birds are good, fish are good, animals are good, mankind's good, everything's good. And the relationship among them is all good, very good. Harmony, peace, joy, provision, everything. That the entry of sin damaged all that. Peace and harmony is reflected. Instead of harmony, you got disharmony, discord. Instead of peace, you got predation, war, violence, abuse, these things. You see it in nature, right? There should be harmony. You got predator, prey, right? You see it, right? The strong eat the weak, right? This species preys on that species. That's not the way God created it, right? And inside, you check with yourself, you know, there should be a feeling within people, within our hearts. No, that's not the way it should be. That's not the way it could be. That's not the way it's supposed to be. You're right. And that feeling is a reflection of us being created by God. So, right, you see, we know what, right? You see that? Don't you want to hug a lion? Right? You know, you got your glimpse. I mean, this guy is good with lions. He takes care of them. Good relationship. There you go. You want to play soccer with a lion? They might win. There's a video of that if you enjoy it. This guy plays soccer with lions, right? You know, there's a glimpse. There you go. This is in nature. We showed a video of this before, that the polar bear's alive. He's playing with the husky, you know. He's not eating him. He's playing with him. You know, they have a good time. You know, we have a sense. You see that and you sense, yes, that's how it should be. That's how it could be. That's how it ought to be. Why is that? Because you and I were created by a good God, a good creation, right? We respond to that, right? When we realize something's lost, instead there's right, violence, abuse, right? These kind of things. There's death and decay because of, you know, people have this feeling. There's not that many of us were that adults in 1969. You know, 1969, I was 20 years old. I was 20 once. Can you believe that, Lauren? In 1969, I was 20. I was a student. I was in England. You know, we watched the news. Whoa, in the U.S., there was something, a lot of things going on in the 60s, especially the late 60s. You know, there was the whole young people thing, music thing going on, peace, you know. And there was a thing, there was a big gathering in 1969 called, at a place called Woodstock in the, right? There it is. There was a concert in Woodstock, 1969, that kind of went down as the pinnacle of this cultural thing among young people, right? Those who are alive, yeah. Everybody came together and, you know, they stayed together. There were, you know, hundreds of thousands of young people came together to listen to music, to sing, to camp out, to be together, you know, and there's a whole movie about it. And, you know, within that, there was a whole feeling, yes, you know, we, those young people, I was 20, you know, the thing crossed the Atlantic, we had the same kind of feeling, you know, the parents were kind of into material thing, house, car, you know, fridge, stove, whatever. The young people felt, no, that's not the answer. There's something more. We need to come together. We're supposed to be peace, you know, peaceful. We're not making war. There's, you know, violence. The Vietnam War was there. And they all came together in Woodstock for a number of days, had a big music festival. And there was a, you know, there's that kind of longing. I like, there was a song written called Woodstock. It's written by a Canadian singer called Joni Mitchell. She's still alive. She's probably 70 by now. She's Canadian. The story, the song goes like, this is from the song. They sang it at that Woodstock. The song starts, I came upon a child of God. He was walking along the road. And I asked him, where are you going? And this is what he told me. I skip a few lines. We are stardust. We're golden. And we've got to get ourselves back to the garden. We've got to get ourselves back to the garden, because the end of this chapter, God puts man out of the garden. Man lost the presence of God, the provision of God in some sense. He's out of the garden. Here's a song. We've got to get ourselves back to the garden. I think, do we have another stanza? I think we, okay, the end of the song. We're stardust, billion-year-old carbon. We're golden. We're caught in the devil's bargain. What Satan did was he caught man, trapped man, right? Got the best of man at that point. We're caught in the devil's bargain, and we've got to get ourselves back to the garden. See, there was a feeling at that time, you know, that was vocalized. We've got us, we've lost something. We're not where we should be, where we could be, what God intended, and somehow we've got to get ourselves back. Now, Woodstock was not the beginning of something great. It was kind of a peak. It kind of petered out. But there's that sense. All right, what's the solution? You know, the solution is not to come together, have a big music festival, sing rock and roll. A lot of bad things started happening to that whole thing. That is not the answer. Let's all come, you know, this is the gospel according to Michael Jackson. We all come together, we sing the same song, that will solve everything. I'm sorry, that doesn't solve anything. There's more problems, right? What's the solution? God has a solution. Okay, we know in the story, man, you know, the solutions they tried, I cover myself with fig leaves, I hide, I blame. You know, those are kind of man's solution. Today, let's try to change society, whatever. God has a solution. Okay, what's God's solution? This is good. You know, God, yes, God came in. There's a number of things God did point to the solution. The solution for us, solution for families, for society, for the whole creation is implied in what God did. Okay, what does God do to solve the problem? God, number one, God seeks. God seeks. Yes, did God know what happened? Yes, he did. He asked, Adam, where are you? He knew. On the other hand, God seeks. Adam, where are you? You're afraid, you're hiding, but I still want to seek you, come to you. I want to keep this, restore this relationship. God seeks. Number two, God confronts. God confronts. What have you done? What have you done? Right? And, you know, this is to restore that relationship. And with us, he wants, you know, what's the response? Confession. Confession. I took, I ate, I, yes. God judges. God judged the serpent. God judged the woman. God judged the man. There's God's, and that affected the whole creation. God judges. God seeks. God confronts. God judges. God provides. Right? God provides. They had fig leaves. They don't last very long. God provided skins to cover them. That shows you God's provision. You can say something died to produce those skins. That gives you a little idea of sacrifice. God said, Adam, the day you eat, you'll die. Adam didn't die physically. Something died to provide for him. God provides. God promises. God promises. God does a lot. This, especially this. This, the woman's seed will crush the serpent's head. God said to the woman, but the implication is toward the serpent. God said to the serpent, I will put enmity, animosity, ill feeling between you, the serpent, and the woman, between the serpent's seed offspring and the woman's offspring seed. He, the serpent's seed, will bruise, he, the woman's seed, will bruise the serpent's head, and you will bruise his heel. The woman's seed, eventually, you know, the one who brought the problem in was the serpent. What's God's promise? Eventually, someone will come from the human race who will crush the serpent's head, deal with the source of the problem. He'll crush the head of the serpent. Yes, that will involve suffering. The one doing it, his heel will be bruised. He'll be wounded. But the serpent's head will be crushed. You bruise the heel, the person still lives. Are they hurt? Yes. Wounded? Yes. They're still alive. Jesus died and rose from the dead. He's alive. But the serpent's head, Satan, was crushed, eventually, fatally crushed. God has a promise. Eventually, the situation will be resolved. That's the promise. And we live, you know, we live in the light of that promise that Jesus came. He's the, you know, it's down the road from where the Adam and Eve were. Jesus came to defeat Satan, to solve the problem of sin, solve the problem of death. Jesus crushed the serpent's head. He dealt with Satan. He dealt with sin. He's dealing with death, right? That's the solution that God promised. And okay, through this one, we can get out of what we have from Adam. We can get what we receive from Christ. From Adam, we got the virus. Jesus is the antivirus. Jesus is the medicine. Jesus is the solution to what we get from Adam. So the Bible says, as in Adam all die, so in Christ all will be made alive. Amen. Amen. There's an alternative. There's a solution. That is Jesus Christ. If you remain in Adam, from Adam, that's all you have, is what you got from Adam. You will die. You're already dying. You got sin. You got the virus. Eventually you death. You're separated from God. You got all the problems. But we can be in Christ. As in Adam all die, so in Christ all will be made alive. Amen. Amen. We can be made alive today. Yes. We'll be made alive in that day. Yes. At a future day, yes. We'll be physically resurrected. In Christ, all will be made alive. Amen. Right? God wants to restore us, restore our relationship with Him, make us alive so that we reflect Him. Through this, God wants to restore the whole creation. But it starts here. It starts with you, starts with me, starts with the human race. Eventually, God's going to restore the whole creation. Do you believe it?
Yes.
Amen. Amen. The Bible says so. God says so. He's going to restore the whole creation. The lion will lie down with the lamb, right? The wolf with the sheep, etc., etc. God will restore this whole creation. You know, God is not just rescuing us out of this society, out of this earth, out of this creation. God, if God saves us, restores us, He restores our relationships. He wants to have a restored society among His people, restored community, and He aims to have a restored creation. Amen. We're not going to be taken away. You know, the end of the story is not we fly away and go to heaven. The end of the story is there's a new heaven, new earth. God is there. We're there. We're back to the garden and better. Amen.
Amen.
The Bible tells us how to get back to the garden. Amen. And how to get better than the garden. That's the story of the Bible. So I hope this is encouraging to you. You know, Charles Wesley had this hymn, Hark the Herald. It's a well-known hymn. The last stanza picks up this thought. The seed of the woman will crush the serpent's head. It says this, come, desire of nations, come. That's Jesus. Come, fix in us your humble home. Jesus, come and live in us. Rise, the woman's conquering seed. Jesus, rise, the woman's conquering seed. Jesus, bruise in us the serpent's head. You did it on the cross. You bruised the serpent's head. Do it in us. Defeat Satan, bruise Satan, end Satan, end all his work in us. Adam's likeness now efface. We have Adam's likeness. There's a better likeness. That likeness was damaged. There's another likeness. Adam's likeness now efface. Lord, stamp your image in its place. We were like Adam. We'll be changed, transformed to be like the second man, the last Adam. That's Jesus. Final Adam from above, reinstate us in your love. It's the story in Genesis. It's the story, your story, my story, our story, God's story. Amen. All right? Let me just pray. Lord, we pray this week we live in your story. Lord, you are the solution. You're the woman's conquering seed. You're the one who defeats sin, Satan, death. Lord, this week, defeat Satan, sin, and death in us. Lord, transform us, conform us to you. Lord, change us from Adam's likeness to your likeness. Restore us, restore our relationship to you, to one another, to creation, that you're going to restore all things. We say, do it a little more this week. In Jesus' name, amen.